incredible.
Don't you wish we could find out of all these people? Again, let me just read this again. The council is holding up the rate increase for Detroit until the Water and Sewerage Department fashions a plan to tax city residents. Wait, is that grammatically correct? Fashions, or should that be fashion a plan? Until the Water and Sewerage Department, yeah, fashions. Okay, that's one department. Fashions a plan to tax city residents and businesses to cover the water bills of Detroiters who won't or can't pay. Now, why is won't even in that sentence? Because I can't believe anyone should be taxed for someone who won't pay. And when you're talking about these people who won't pay their water bills, they probably have let it build up. They didn't pay for a long time, and they cut them slack. And you know these people are paying their mortgage. They're paying their landlord.
Oh, yeah. They're at the casino, probably.
Oh, plenty of them are.
The racetrack. Okay.
You know, there are multitudes of the people in this won't pay, quote-unquote, category who have cell phones.
Oh, absolutely.
How many of these people who can't deal with their water bill, and oh my God, what a tragedy. How could you turn off someone's water? You have to have water to live. Yeah, I'd like to know how many of these people have, A, active cell phones. I bet you they pay their cell phone bill. And I bet you they pay their car bill too. I bet you they pay for their car, those who have it. And I bet you there are a lot of those people who do have cars.
Follow them around.
Yeah.
You know, and you find out all this stuff. But you know, I think the fear is with these utilities is that somebody's gonna die and there's gonna be a lawsuit. And but hey, listen, if they had the ability to pay and they didn't, you should throw it out of court anyway.
First of all, they're dead. They can't sue. If one of their family members dares to sue, it's always a family member.
You know?
Why didn't you pay the bill? You know, if you're so worried about your family member, why didn't you pay their heat bill?
Oh,
if you're so worried about it.
Why pay for it when you can get it for free? eBay.
Okay.
And you know what? There are people who are, due to circumstances, whatever they may be, you've lost your job. You lost your job. He lost his job. Okay,
a lot of them are seniors. That's the problem.
You know what? Well,
incomes and all that, and they don't have a dime, and their medication eats up all their, you know, all the income
different.
And all that sort of thing.
But work with those people. At least, you know, get $5 a month. Get $10 a month. Have some kind of a program. But people who are just deadbeats, and there are just so many deadbeats, and
was it during our vacation or before vacation where they were saying they could literally balance a budget on unpaid taxes?
Oh, yeah.
The unpaid taxes right now, they could balance the effing budget with our government.
Since when?
And it's because of people that have not paid their taxes, they won't. Pay their taxes, and the infamous illegal tax shelters.
Well, you would not believe how aggressive...
I paid my taxes over a year ago.
As far as people not paying their taxes, it is so easy to nail these people. First of all, you boot their cars.
You take away
their driver's license.
Yeah.
There's a million things you can do to put pressure on these
people.
And how many of these people... are you talking about income taxes?
Yeah, income taxes. Yeah, that's what they said.
I was going to say,
the IRS.
You don't give them their refund, but if they're not paying their taxes.
Yeah, obviously. They're just not paying their taxes.
Daddy, what do taxes pay for?
Oh, why everything. Policemen, trees, sunshine, and let's not forget the folks who just don't feel like working, God bless them.
There's just an element out there of people that just, I guess they just decide like, hey, I'm just not going to pay anything. I guess. It's amazing.
Well, this is going to sound
I would be fearful of that stuff, but boy, a lot of these people, they're just... No, they're fearless, man.
I tell you what, when I was in college, we had more problems with bills because you always had that one schlub roommate.
Oh, sure.
Who was like, oh, my dad didn't send a check. Oh, that's funny. You're out drinking beer every night.
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder why you can't pay the electric bill.
Yeah.
And so everybody's stubborn as hell because everyone's broke.
Yeah, I went to that in California. We had our phone shut off and our power shut off. I don't know how many times.
We got our phone shut off all the time.
Happened to me all the time.
We got our electricity cut off, but we would never pay our water bill. Oh, yeah. No way would you not.
Well, the water bill is so small. Yeah, the water one is small. Plus, there's always that business of the lien on the property and all that. Water bill is a big deal. I mean,
well, you could always get somebody to, you know, lean in and pace Johnny's $6 or whatever, because it wasn't a big deal. But always the guy that wouldn't pay the phone bill is the guy that makes the most long distance calls, and nobody would ever pay. Mm. And so we had this one guy who kept not paying his phone bill. And so I was like, you can't use the phone. And so like, okay, I just won't use the phone until I can pay the bill. So anyway, this went on and on and on. Finally, this phone bill was up. Of course, he kept using the phone. Every month, we'd find out he made another $50 in long-distance calls.
Oh, man.
We kicked him out. Well, actually, he left before we kicked him out. We were about to kick him out. So then
got wind of it.
We couldn't find this deadbeat anywhere. So we sent certified mail to his parents.
Is that right?
I was pretty aggressively brilliant on our part. It was my roommate's idea. I would have never thought of such a thing. And so we send certified mail to his parents, and they wouldn't sign for it. It kept coming back to us.
Yeah.
So eventually, I forgot what we put on the return address, but instead of using our address, how you doing? We put something else like Virginia Tech Agronomy Department, because the guy was in the agriculture department. We put something else on it, and then inside it was like,
trip him into opening it.
Yeah, it was like, hey, your a-hole kid owes us X amount of dollars for the phone bill. Will you please pay it? Because he's getting bombed every night. I mean, we basically ratted him out.
No.
And again, this is not my idea, but I was fully in support. Well, they write us a letter back, and it's like, hey, we're not responsible for our loser kid, and you know, F you. And it was like, there were about 20 F words in this little letter. It was like,
wow.
Oh, well, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. So we got stuck with that one because my roommate Edmund had it in his name, so we all had to pitch in and pay for this turd.
The guy's probably still doing the same thing today.
Oh, and by the way, when he left, he took every steak knife we had and stuck them in the wall.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, Mr. Badass.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
And he was always the loser, too. We used to have keg parties all the time. He never could throw in money for the keg.
Yeah, always like, just back
gonna,
to the tab.
Who's going to, well, why don't you at least write the check for the deposit for the for the keg, you know, for the thing you screw on, the tap, or whatever, you had to write a check for the deposit.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm out of checks. Well, you know, you never lost the check. It was just you had to write the check, and then they just tore it up when he brought the tap back. This asswipe couldn't even write the check for the tap. What a turd. Boy, thinking back on those days. Those dire financial situations.
I know. I remember all that very well.
anyway, not to pile on the city of Detroit, but...
well, it's tiresome.
The Detroit News headline this morning is End of the Road for Junkets, and it's about... These trips, Conyers, $47,000 worth of trips last year. Carolyn Cheeks Kilpatrick, $26,000 worth of trips.
Here we go again.
If you dig into this story, you find that these lobbyists, like, look at all the places they go to. Carolyn Cheeks Kilpatrick went to Egypt last March. Oh, nice. She worked on a trip to Africa this year. And they're these fact-finding trips, and they're all permitted. They all go to Hawaii. Every trip they take is to somewhere nice.
Some exotic location.
And you know, they allow the spouses to go, too. That's what pisses me off. It's like, oh, if this is work, if this is really work, and they're really finding out, they're really learning all these things that are so important to the running of Michigan or Detroit, then why does their spouse need to go?
Oh, well, yeah, and half this crap can be done with video conferencing, as we've talked about.
Absolutely.
They don't have to jet over there and, you know, spend 3-4 days partying up a storm and have one meeting to justify the thing.
And these, you know, these organizations or lobbyists or whoever pays for these things, they pay for the spouse, too, and it's like, forget that.
Mm-hmm.
If their spouse can't go, let's see how many of them go. And then I noticed, too, that in some of these trips, like the Hawaii trips, I forgot who it was. Somebody, that's in the deeper in the article. I'll find it later. But anyway, they went to this Hawaii trip, and they ended up being an important spokesperson, of course.
Oh.
And they end up getting a $1,700 flight to Hawaii, and they take their spouse, and then they take a bunch of vacation days after their speech.
Oh, I see.
So, that's interesting. While you're there why not just take a little vacation?
Right.
Yeah, that's nice the way you work that in.
Yep. So now the airplane is paid for, and they just turn it into a vacation and work.
Yeah. Stop allowing these spouses to go. Stop paying for the spouses, and then let's see how many of these people go on these trips. And don't allow them to tack vacation onto them either.
Boy.
Because...
what a maneuver that is.
What a waste of breath.
Yeah, I know it.
Hey,
I know it. The crap that goes on.
This reminded me because I was... I had my USA Today from yesterday underneath that very story. Enron's Fastow juiced books. It's about how Andrew Fastow of Enron used to basically every quarter when Enron needed to make its profit mark in order to reach the Wall Street expectations so their stock price would continue to fly up, they would get within the last week. And all these people in Enron would be running around going, oh, my God, we're not going to make it. We're not going to make it. We're going to lose money. And then, miraculously, they'd hit the number at the last second. and what this guy would do is he was starting these shell companies that were offshoots of Enron. And these shell companies would take all the losses, and they would just basically fill in the blanks of whatever the number needed to be in order to make basic Enron make its profit mark.
Oh, wow.
And the stock price keeps shooting up, shooting up, shooting up. Anyway, the reason I bring it up is because there's a movie called Enron. In fact, it was up for an Oscar. And I don't know, did we talk about this at all the other day?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think we did.
Sometimes we talk about stuff off the air.
That's right.
Hard to sometimes the two blur together.
Anyway, that movie was just fantastic. If you want to rent a great movie and see how these people do it, how is it that Tyco, for example, Enron, or you know, the list goes on. How do they do it? Rent this Enron movie. It is just brilliantly done. It's a long movie, but when you see what weasels these Andrew Fastows and Ken Lays. And their connection to this administration, by the way, will absolutely nauseate you. Not that there haven't been other companies associated with other administrations. I know it happens all the time. But nonetheless, this Andrew Fastow, Ken Lay, and Jeffrey Skilling. Oh, and they had this Asian dude. And I don't bring up his nationality for any specific reason other than that this guy was such a nut for strip clubs. And he was such a nerd, and this is all from the Enron movie, that he had this glass office on, I think it was the ninth floor of the Enron building, which was this beautiful building, and this office was literally, you know, I don't know, 100 feet by 30 feet or something, and it went all the way across this huge expanse on this floor, and you could see inside the office. It was a glass office. And this Asian dude... One night, somebody was working late, and they noticed holy crap, look at all these sluts in what's-his-name's office. And it's about 30 strippers, and they decided this Asian dude was so shy and so reserved, and he didn't really seem like an executive.
Yeah, yeah.
And they came to the conclusion that he was such a... It was so non-believable that he was this big Enron stud that he had to bring the strippers into the office just to prove it one day. He brought them all to the office after hours to show them what a stud he was because he'd been tipping these skanks, you know, huge amounts of money forever. And they couldn't believe that he really was this big,
shot
at Enron.
Right.
So anyway, this guy ends up marrying one of the strippers and leaving Enron well before the you know, what hit the fan. Yeah. Walter's made a funny discovery. Listen to this. George Bush had a press conference yesterday, and it was in New Orleans. He was talking about Katrina cleanup. You probably saw some of this.
I saw that, yeah.
Anyway, did you notice, did he sound funny at that thing? Did you?
Sound like the normal Bush to me.
Well, let's give it another listen.
Okay. The governor and the mayor and myself, along with Laura, and part of our
party. Sound like you might be off the wagon or something.
We just flew over. Affected parts.
Sounds
of the,
tired.
Orleans Parish, Jefferson Parish, St. Bernard
Sounds
Parish.
Sounds like he had about 10 shots on the on Air Force One.
I thought he quit alcohol.
Yeah, he did, but I think he got a little hammered before he went down there, and then he was really tired when the plane landed.
Okay.
Still hammered.
Yeah, he's Larry Wiggy tired.
Yeah, at least.
Hard work in coordinating federal efforts with.
Yeah, he's kind of
the
slurring his words.
Mayor. Governor Blanco is and Mayor Nagin have been by my side when I've come down here, and I really appreciate them
Well, it turns out he talks really fast.
He sounds,
if you slow him down, if you slow him down just a little bit, he sounds bomb.
Yeah.
But he doesn't, it still sounds like him, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Make sure I fully understand.
It's unmistakably Bush.
How much did you slow him down?
30%.
If you, like, if you slow Trudy down, she doesn't sound like Trudy. She sounds like a gay guy. It's really funny. I mean, her voice is indistinguishably, she sounds like a male homosexual if you slow her down. But Bush, it's weird. When you slow him down, and 30% is a lot. Like, if you slowed us down 30%, you wouldn't recognize us.
The process of cleaning up debris.
But slowing him down, I'm amazed. He sounds that much like himself. He just sounds like a bomb, George Bush.
From Alice Harris I met. He lived in a... It was on the third floor of an apartment complex. I said, what happened to you? And he said, well, I went to Salt Lake. I said, you this is an example of what happened to you.
Dropped in the slow motion fart there.
Yeah.
From there, the federal government helped fly him to Chicago, where he had some relatives. He now has come back to work in the city he loves, New Orleans. And that's why I'm so pleased that...
Here's what Trudy sounds like when he slow, when he throws Trudy down.
No American guy would ever... wish that was aimed right at me.
Actually, if you slow her down a little less, she sounds even gayer.
No American guy would ever wish
crying out loud.
That was aimed right at me.
Yeah, its trajectory. Its trajectory was right towards your belly.
No American guy would ever wish
one of the. One of the walls that are being built. I mean, there's a lot of concrete.
Yeah, Bush sounds so trash.
He does. This is him at like, this
sounds
is like him at
2
one of those frat parties.
Yeah.
I'd say more like 4 a.m. And they're just trying to get that last little bit out of the keg.
Place.
And yeah, so sitting again, in the living room, just out of it.
And he thinks he's in some real poignant conversation,
yeah,
but he's really
he's talking
just bummed.
Yeah, and whoever he's talking to is passing out. They're actually falling asleep listening to him.
From my heart for Louisiana.